Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this morning and this Bible study as we study and share together the truth about healing and the reality of what you have done, Jesus, for us, provided by grace that we access through faith. And Lord, continue. Please keep opening our eyes and our ears to hear the things that you're revealing to us, speaking to us. Lord, there's so much, there's such a richness in each person here of the truth of your word. And Holy Spirit, you bring up what you want to reveal today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know if this is my last day studying-wise or not, but it depends on what Johnny says about the, you know, what comes in November. But you all know that next week is fifth Sunday, right? We got a guest speaker, and
we
have no classes next week. So, anyway, we'll see. Praise God. You ready?
Ready.
Who remembers?
Go.
Who remembers where we've been?
Mark.
The synopsis. Anybody?
I wasn't here.
You weren't here.
I'm not good with the addresses of everything, but the leper who came to Jesus and asked to be healed. That was the first class. yeah, that's what I remember.
All right.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You got anything?
Well, Tom does.
Yeah.
No making things up. All right, you two. They're already started.
Talked about grace last week.
Yeah.
There's no need to labor to get healed.
Yep.
Because grace was on them from Titus.
Amen.
It's the rest of salvation.
Mm-hmm. That's the title of this Bible study. And this, Blake, so you know, this is a Bible study. This is not, we're not doing a monologue. This is a Bible study. And we're studying, of course, the topic is healing. But the title of this particular part of it is called The Rest of Salvation. And we started with, I'll synopsize too, the Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, and the leper who came to Jesus and he said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus made him clean. He healed him, touched him, and made him clean. Yep. And boom, boom. And it was done. He didn't have any resume to present. He didn't have any, he just, here I am. And no effort. It was a free gift. It was given to him. It was God's grace. And it was done. He received from Jesus. And what happened was, and this is kind of how I look at it, is he entered into salvation. He really entered into the healing aspect of salvation by faith. Jesus, are you willing? Yeah, of course I am. Tom had said that, and I really like that. Of course I am. And that's really how the Lord looks at us for us. Says, of course I am. Of course. So, he received, and the leprosy left, and then he was cleansed. And then Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men," and meaning all men and women. And that's through Jesus' death and burial and resurrection to everybody that would believe. And everybody that believes receives salvation. Get saved, becomes born again. We covered sozo and soteria, the meanings of those. They're almost interchangeable, where it's healing and deliverance and preservation and, right?
Prosperity.
Right. Okay. So in a sense, salvation, when we receive salvation, when we enter into salvation, is really entering into his rest. But here's what, we get this kind of confused, I think, kind of complicated. So I want to cover this again. We read Hebrews 4, verse 3 last week. Somebody want to read that? Hebrews 4, verse 3? We're not going to cover like the whole context of everything, but I want to point out a couple of things in each of these scriptures. I want to get your view on this. Because when we get born again, we enter into salvation. We've entered into the rest of God. The rest that comes with salvation, what does this all mean? I mean, in reality, this is where people get confused a lot of times with healing and how this works. I mean, how does it work? So anyway, we're going to sort through a little bit more of that today. Who wants to read Hebrews 4, verse 3? And don't everybody jump.
For we who believe, that is, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God, enter that rest so that we have His inner peace now because we are confident in our salvation and assured of His power. Just as He has said, as I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This He said, although His works were completed from the foundation of the world, waiting for all who would believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's done, and we just need to believe. Yeah. Simple.
Oh. Okay. So it means we just need to believe, and it's done. You mean like the healing's done? Okay, I want to back up. Will somebody read Hebrews 4, 1 and 2?
God's promise of entering His rest still stands.
Wait, stop.
Am I not in 4?
Stop. No, yeah, you're in 4. Stop. A promise remains of entering His rest. Now, He was speaking about earlier in the context in chapter 3 about Israel. They didn't get it. I mean, they didn't get the fullness of the promise because they didn't enter in because their hearts were hardened through unbelief. Mm-hmm. And that's the basis of it. And they didn't enter into the salvation of what the Lord had for them. But then He says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest. Whoa!
Yeah, it's been there from the beginning.
Yes. Been there from the beginning.
It's still freely offered today.
Yeah, like it's always been the plan.
Yeah.
It's always been there. It's not been taken away. He hasn't pulled back. He hasn't said, forget it.
Yeah.
He hasn't said, you know, you got to qualify.
Wow.
Okay. You want to keep going, Carol?
Amen. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Wow. That's it.
Okay. Verse 3.
For only we who believe can enter His rest.
Wait, repeat that.
For only we who believe can enter His rest.
Huh.
As for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest.
Say that again. Read it all the way through.
For only we who can believe can enter His rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since He made the world.
And mine says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Anybody else got something in any of this? What do you see in this? I mean,
oh my gosh, I'm in NLT. I'm not supposed to be there.
That was good though.
That's the New Living.
Yeah.
I'm usually a New King James.
Anybody else got anything? What does this mean?
Healing wasn't a new idea just because Jesus was
right.
Yeah.
Neither was prosperity or deliverance.
No, it was all there from the beginning.
Everything, everything.
Right. And you see it when you read the Old Testament.
I know.
Anytime they put their nose to and their heart their heart to believing God and trusting and relying on Him, they prospered and they did well. And every time they turned away and they started worshiping idols and doing all this other stupid stuff, you know,
yeah.
And it happened time after time mm-hmm. after time, and mm-hmm. they didn't learn from their own history.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anything else?
Well, back in Adam and Eve, I mean, they had it perfect until the sin came, and
yeah,
and then you know, I mean, that's when it started. I mean, everything was there.
Everything.
It was there.
Everything. Everything. The garden is like the picture of entering into salvation. It's what we have or what we had. And the Lord's bringing it back to those who would believe. And I wanted to say in verse 3 that for we, and the writer's saying to all of us who have believed in what?
Believe God's word.
Any specifics in that?
Believe Jesus.
Believe Jesus? Believed His word,
believed
the truth, believed what He did,
yeah, believed
what God says.
Right.
We who have believed do enter that rest. That rest being, and I want to, like I said, I'm making it, that I want you to see the interchange between getting born again and salvation. Right on up here, honey. Right in front of everybody. Good morning.
That's right.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Do you know how many people struggle?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else struggle? I've struggled.
Sure.
And what is the rest? What is this rest? When you think about it, what is His rest? When we enter His rest.
That would be complete and total trust in God and what He said about us, what He's done for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Anything else? What else does it mean? When you start, this is why we want to mine, this is why we mine the Word and mine the Scriptures and think about it and meditate on it. What else does it mean?
We don't have to work to get there.
Don't have to work.
Because He gave it to us. He did the work. We don't have to do the work.
What do you mean by work? Can you explain that?
Okay, I don't have to, in order to get healed or to get saved, I don't have to read my Bible 2 hours a day, pray for 45 minutes a day, and then pray in tongues, and then go feed the sick. And I don't have to do things so God will say, oh, let's give her something because she's just doing so good. Jesus did all the good for me.
Sorry.
That's okay. Jesus did all that. I have to believe in what He did. When I believe in what He did and accomplished, I don't have to do it. All I got to do is get my heart convinced that what He did is what He said He did, He really did.
Huh. How do you get your heart convinced? How do you do it?
Well, first you identify the lie that you believe. I just talked to somebody this morning, texting me, that has trouble believing for healing because they're not thoroughly convinced that the illness or the sickness was not partially from God. So if you believe that's a lie. You got to identify, okay, this is what I believe. Does it match the word? If it doesn't match the word, say, I'm guilty, it doesn't match the word, and in the name of Jesus, I'm going to set aside that lie and I'm going to replace it with the truth. And then you have to talk to yourself. The speaking the word and reading the word is not so God's going to say, well, ain't she something special? It's to convince our hearts of what the truth really is.
Morning.
Good morning.
What else?
I was reading Pastor Womack this morning, and he was saying that if we mistakenly think that God is bringing tragedy into our lives to make us more fruitful, then we will not resist the tragedies, and they will not flee from us.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, if we think he has
anything
any
to
part
do with
of it,
yeah, which he doesn't. Yeah, his will is for us to be perfect and healthy.
Then we're double-minded. Half of my mind says he's guilty. Half of my mind says he's the answer.
Right,
he
and
cannot
you're not
be
getting
both.
Anything from God yeah. In that case.
Yeah, yeah. He can't be both.
What verse is that?
Hebrews chapter 4. We're on verses 1 through 3.
Thank you.
What else? Anything else? That's good.
Well, it means to me when I entered into his rest, he has something to say about every aspect of my life. He's involved with everything. My coming and going, my eating, my sleeping, everything, all revolves around him. And that when that happens, there is rest. You know that he's got it all in control.
You mean he's got your back?
Yeah, I don't have to be concerned about it. Everything. It's all done. I just, okay. But there's a lot of pitfalls that you have to be aware that you don't wander away and do stupid stuff, and then you get, then you're in a bind.
You mean like the consequences we bring on ourselves?
Exactly.
Right. It's on you, not on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because everybody, growing up in my way of thinking, everybody, the devil did it. No, a lot of times you did it. You know what I mean? It was just,
right.
No, you made the decision. You made the conscious decision to say, because of your selfish inner man said, nope, I'm going to do this. And when we do that, we take ourselves out of the rest. And then when you go, oh, crap.
The devil didn't make it, but you're just agreeing with the devil.
Yeah, exactly. You got to turn around and repent. But once you find out that, okay, every aspect he wants part of it. Everything.
I think the devil cheers when we blame him for things that
absolutely.
That he didn't do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Another point.
They think I'm really powerful.
Yeah, if you're blaming anything on God but good, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to blame good on him.
Well, that's a different way to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, a couple more things in here. For we, this is Hebrews 4, verse 3. For we who have believed, first of all, you got to be a believer. That means faith. That means there's got to be faith there. Period. It doesn't just happen. And I want you to think about the leper who came to Jesus in Mark 1. Did he believe? I mean, it's not stated specifically, but if he didn't believe, would he have come to Jesus?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so either. I don't believe that. Because Jesus' reputation was already well known. Would Jesus' reputation have inspired faith? Well, if you heard about Jesus, when you heard about Catherine Coleman did that inspire faith?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, crazy faith. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's like when somebody that hasn't heard the word walks in this church and they hear the word. That inspires faith.
And they get
the call is made and boom, up they come.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now,
Carol walked in. That's her testimony, She walked into that Benny Hinn meeting, a complete unbeliever.
Praise God.
The fire just fired her right out of there.
Praise God. Praise God.
Was that in Flint?
Detroit.
Praise God.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so it takes faith. By faith, we enter into salvation.
Right. Or,
and all the aspects, the rest of our salvation, the actual rest part. Did the leper work for it? Did he work for what he got from Jesus?
All he had to do was ask.
Yeah. Wait. Did he bring a list of qualifications?
No.
Did he? Okay, here's one more. You think he was going through any feelings before he came? Like, hate the way people treat me. They've been, maybe somebody was just rotten to him and said some unclean, nasty things. You get out of here, you leper. Or maybe the, why me? Or maybe, why was this on me? Worth and value. I'm scum. I'm terrible. I'm nothing. I deserve this. Maybe I've done something in the past. Maybe my parents did something, which is part of what the sin they believe was visited from generation to generation. Or maybe he was full of anger and hostility toward people and the way he was treated. Do you think he was in emotionally and mentally maybe the absolute perfect best of shape? There was no other thoughts in there. There was nothing else bouncing around in his head other than, okay, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I got nothing to present to you, I mean, except carnal me and where I'm at. Please hear this. Where I'm at right now. Right this minute. Where I'm at. That's for anybody. Because the grace of God that brings salvation or healing has appeared to all people through Jesus. So what he did for the leper, he's already accomplished for everybody. All we have to do is come to him in faith. It requires nothing. Nothing to enter the rest of salvation. It's that faith aspect. So let me. We who have believed do. This is unconditional. Do enter that rest. And rest, if you go back to Genesis 2, when God rested from his works. I mean, all creation was done. I mean, creation top to bottom was done. This is what he's referring to. Creation was done. And we who have believed do enter that rest. And rest in the Greek and the Hebrew is a, and I'll have to break it down all the way, but is the completed works. It's complete. It's a finished aspect. It's done. There's no more to add to it. This is God's rest. This is his rest that's the picture for us. It's our rest too. We who have believed do enter that rest, that finished work. And then he says, "Then I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," speaking of Israel, who was hardened, what the Bible says, what Hebrews says, through the deceitfulness or the lies of sin. Their hearts got hardened. They really rejected him. They did their own thing. They said, "No, you know, you're not good enough," or "No, we don't want you," or "No, we're going to choose somebody else." But just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, we're going to go another way. We're going to believe the deceitfulness of sin. But the Lord goes on and he says, "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world," the works accomplished that produced the rest for us were finished from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, the plan for us who enter by faith into salvation or into his rest, it is all done however we come. However, whatever baggage we've got at the moment, the works for us were finished. I mean, they were finished.
Hallelujah. Awesome. Yeah.
So then go back to verse 10 and read 10 and 11. Let's get a different translation than what you got, Blake. Who else wants to read that?
I'll read.
Okay. 10 and 11. Hebrews 4.
Hebrews 4.
10 and 11.
Okay. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God," 10 and 11, right?
10 and 11.
Okay, that was it.
Okay. Why don't you read it again?
"For he that is entered." Me? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
"For he that is entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief."
Like Israel. What is that? What's your take? What does that mean? Anybody? What's that mean? What's the Lord saying to you in this?
Only believe.
Don't work. Don't work for it.
Don't work for it. What kind of work do we do?
Everything.
Believing your works are of value.
But we do have to labor to enter the rest. We don't have to labor to get what's in the rest, but to get there. Because we got flesh, we got stupid, we got past experiences, past beliefs. That's our labor place.
The message says, so let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience.
Yeah, that's good.
So does rest happen automatic?
No. It's the renewing of the mind.
I mean, it's automatic. It's done, right?
It's done. So, done deal.
So, what's the problem?
From here to here.
So, how do we get it from here to here? How do we get it from our head to our heart?
Can I say it's like more like he's learning how to live in the rest? Because sometimes the rest does get you right away, but it's you got to learn how to live in it too. You know.
How do you do that? You got any thoughts on that?
Continue at it.
It's a big deal.
It's a continuance thing, you know.
Yeah, just continue
believing God. Yeah. So let's put the rubber to the road.
Don't
what does that mean?
I mean,
how do you apply it? I mean, you're living every day, learning how to live in His rest, His completed works for us. Chica, did you have something?
Believe what God says. Don't believe what the doctor says about you.
Believe what God says. Don't believe what the doctor says.
No.
Yep. What else? What, Carol?
It all comes down to what you're focused on. I mean, if you're focused If we focus on God, we're going to be victorious on God and what He's already done for us, on the Word. But if we focus, whatever we focus on gets bigger. It just gets bigger and magnified. And I know that from my own life.
See, the meditation is the preparation for the destination.
Oh, that's... Did you just make that up?
I did.
Did you? You should write that down.
I'll write it down. I'll give you credit for it.
Meditation is preparation for the destination. Man, that should be on a plaque.
Yeah, right. One of those posters, you know.
Yeah.
Meditation is the preparation for the destination.
Yep.
That is good. That is that's right off the top of your head.
Every once in a while.
Your Holy Ghost head. The Lord does speak through you. Anything else in here? I mean, on this, these two scriptures on Hebrews 4, 10, and 11?
Well, you think about it, if the Jews would have meditated on Him, and they would have made it to their destination, but they never did.
They didn't believe. Their hearts were hardened through unbelief by the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, like when they were wandering around in the desert for 40 years, you know, they wouldn't focus on Jesus. They didn't think they had enough. Sometimes they were out playing games rather than living in thanksgiving to God. And, you know, I mean, so that makes sense.
Carol.
Because you see that same example over and over again where they would go and do other stuff, but they wouldn't focus on God and try to get into His rest.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean, I mean, any of us are going to do that.
Oh, no.
Right?
No,
we're not going to do that. We're not going to lose our focus.
No.
Right? We're not going to try. And then we find, you know, this is what I've done, and I've found myself working at, be diligent to enter His rest. I'm working at trying to enter His rest, trying to enter the rest of my salvation, my healings, and working. And not really even realizing I'm working. I've got my confessions I make, you know, and I've got my time that I spend in the Word, and I'm gleaning, and I'm meditating on it, and I'm looking for everything that applies to healing. And I mean, I'm searching out, and I'm being diligent, and I'm looking for, but I'm... And I'm just being real. Am I really looking at Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, the author and perfecter of my faith, who was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world for me.
Yeah, amen.
And the works are completed. If I enter into his rest, then I do it by faith. Does it help to get the word in? Does it help to make a confession like death and life are in the power of the tongue? Those that love it will eat its fruit. Is that good? When does it become works? When we apply faith, when does faith and the application of faith become a work? Because that takes us right out of the rest.
When we trust in what we're doing more than just trusting in what Jesus has done. Right. I think, you know, I've done that with the confessions. It's like, I'm confessing and I'm doing this and why isn't it happening? And I'm looking at what I'm doing and I've lost focus of what Jesus has already done. It's really hard to have that balance. For me, it's hard to have the balance. And I know that that part's wrong in me, that I have to look more at Jesus than what I'm doing.
So how do you know when you cross the line? How do you realize that?
I think you listen to your own thoughts when it says, I don't know why this is not happening. I have done. Oh, you have done? Oh, yeah. Well, see, now there's your problem.
Yeah.
You
say,
not
what
you have done.
Yeah.
No peace.
And admit it. We charismatic word of faith, Pentecostal, blah, 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 don't want to admit that we miss it and that we fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that we haven't arrived.
What do you call that?
Pride.
I think we're so focused on ourselves.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh.
No matter what, we're so always thinking of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. You have your hand up?
I think it's like when we believe in, like, doctors say about you, like, when they say, oh, you're sick or you have a disease and we're not listening to what God says about you.
Mm-hmm. Not making that change in your mind and your heart.
One thing that came into my spirit was to have that expectation, that, you know, an earnest expectation for either the change in you or what to glorify mm-hmm. God, to, you know, to always be expecting that. Because
mm-hmm.
some people, when they mm-hmm. go off and they do their own thing, they're not expecting it no more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, nothing's going to happen.
That's a good point.
Yes, this word here, the diligent, be diligent. The definition of the Greek word here is to exert effort, to labor, and study is one of the definitions. I thought that was interesting.
A lot of people study and they read and they spend time in the Word to get revelation. And all of a sudden they get a revelation. Everybody know what a revelation is?
It's a hello moment.
Hello. The light bulb comes on. I got it. I understand it. And a lot of times things don't change. Why is that? Why is that for them? Okay, they're laboring earnestly, diligently to enter his rest. Anybody ever, I've talked with people who have done that. Why am I not getting my healing? I got the revelation and all of a sudden, I mean, everything's good and everything's, and then after a little while, it's like, I still haven't received. Why is that?
Revelation, you have to learn application, how to apply it to you. You might know, like, wow, I got it. He did it. I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
How do I make that work? What do I have to lay down, or what do I have to pick up?
How does that work for me?
About?
How does that work? Yeah.
Yeah.
Many times I've thought about it as just, sometimes you just got to wait on them, you know? Some people, when they're waiting for their healing in the gospel, some people waited years. Some people, you know, once they heard about it, they got it pretty quick, you know? Maybe it sparked up hope when they heard about Jesus.
Well, if the healing is already done, Jesus already did it all,
mm-hmm.
and the works were finished from the foundation of the world for all of us, I mean everybody, the thing that we look for is, we know God's not the problem, right? He's not the issue. Listen, if we could hear him say this, he'd say, oh, look, I've already produced your healing. Here. Here. Where's the problem? If it takes a long time. I've gone through times when it's taken a while. We call it, you know, a hard time receiving.
Yeah.
What is the problem?
Unbelief.
Ah, where does unbelief come from?
Hard-hearted.
Yeah, it may not be sin.
No.
But it may be just a hard heart, or it may be, there's all kinds of issues that come with receiving. Some of these are emotional issues that we're working through. Mm-hmm. Some of them are things that we're battling to fight the unbelief. Sometimes it's not being in the Word. Sometimes it's not getting our hearts dealt with. It's all kinds of things that maybe make a healing progressive. God, I believe God's best is always right now. But you know what? We don't always receive God's best, do we? I mean, right away and or even progressively. We just don't.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. So have we entered the rest of our salvation? Have we done that? Or have we kind of backed off? If we back off, there's no condemnation here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we back off, listen, I'm working through some stuff right now. If we back off, then are we backing out of the rest of his salvation? Are we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, literally, yeah.
Yes, we are.
So if you're diligent to pursue, that's what Pastor Rosie's saying, to enter that rest, being diligent to enter that rest, I mean, you're pursuing. In the Greek, it also means earnestly. It's like, man, with everything inside of me, I want to get there to that rest where the completed works are, because I'm not there yet. Or I've gotten there before, but I'm struggling to get there right now. God's not saying, look, I got my thumb on top of you, I don't want to penalize you. It's a reminder. This is a reminder. This is a refresher to say, be diligent to enter that rest or that rest of your salvation. I mean, keep going. Keep going. I've already produced it for you. You got it. There's nothing off the table. There's nothing off limits. Here it is. Now, let's go to James, if you would, chapter 2. James chapter 2, because we might have a contradiction here.
No.
Yeah. There's never a contradiction in the Word.
No.
No, there's just lack of understanding.
But people think that way.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
So James says, read chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?
Uh-oh. We got a problem, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have a problem with that?
Mm-mm.
You'll have to tell us why.
Well, I feel like... What he's saying is the works that he's talking about is like the fruit of the faith.
Right.
I mean, if you have faith, there's got to be fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't say something and not have action. I mean, you can't claim something but not have a corresponding action or reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's not the same kind of works to me.
Well, you can't have one without the other either, you know. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead.
Mm-hmm. That's in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, he's being quite blunt. And verse 17, somebody want to read that?
Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone.
Whew.
Ooh, what version is that?
It's King James.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?
That's the message. It is outrageous nonsense.
Yeah. God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the way that one's working.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, outrageous nonsense.
So how does that apply to us? Faith without works is dead. Yes, faith works are an outgrowth or outcropping or a product of faith. How does that apply to entering the rest of our salvation? How does that work with entering his rest? And I mean, being planted there, staying there when it comes to healing. What does that mean? How do you apply it? Because Anthony said, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Because it goes through, James goes through, I mean, some pretty bold, blunt things.
Yeah,
a lot of people use this and say this contradicts entering his rest. What's your thoughts? I can enter his rest, the rests are completed, the works are done, there's nothing I have to do, just believe. That's all.
But that's not.
And it's true.
It is true.
Only believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's no excuse to not do something nice for somebody. It's no excuse.
No.
To,
certainly.
You know, not. It's no excuse to make use that to go do something bad.
Okay.
It's out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, or your actions.
Right, when you see a situation, you feel that compelling need to help somebody.
Okay.
Just as Jesus did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Use him as your guide.
Okay. So let's take the principle, because he speaks about Rahab sending the spies out. Rahab was not born again. Rahab didn't have a covenant when Jericho. And the spies came in, and she hid them, and they promised her. Here, I want you to see the principle in this. The spies, the Israelite spies, promised her, you're going to be safe as long as you stay in the house, and you mark your house with this red thread. You know what? We're going to keep you covered. You're going to be safe. We're going to protect you and protect your family. She entered a type of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
She entered that.
As long as she did what she was told.
And she did what she was told. She pursued that rest. She diligently entered that rest. Just, you have to consider that this is a completed work. This is a type. This is a principle being presented here. She entered that rest, and it produced, by her works, the result. So, when it comes to, by faith, we enter into his rest, but we also know it doesn't require any works. It requires nothing. Just as we are right now, we've been healed. And that healing covers mentally, emotionally, physically. Yes, there are things that we need to address, probably, but how do we do this? We enter his rest, but faith without works is dead. This is the principle in staying in his rest. What does that mean? You said the product of our faith. And that's really where it is, because our time is almost done. The product of our faith, works are our cooperation with what the Lord has already done. We're cooperating with his word. We're cooperating. If I'm laying at home in bed and I've got a fever and I'm sick and I'm snotting all over the place, and I just lay there and I say, I'll get better eventually, or whatever. And I don't cooperate with what the word says. Let's just say get up. The last one who feels like getting up is somebody that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up. And Lord, I believe you. My body is healed. I believe what your word says, that by your stripes I was already healed. And I don't feel good, but I'm going to cooperate with you. These are my works, what I speak, what I do. And this is all healing now, okay? In my body, with my body. This last week, I tore my biceps. I tore the muscles. And it was incredibly painful. So I've been working I've entered his rest by continuing to feed my faith on the truth of the word and the truth and the reality of I'm going back and refreshing on what some men of God have taught me in the past. I teach this stuff. Come on, I don't need to refresh, right?
No.
Oh yeah, I need to enter his rest myself, especially when I'm in pain. And entering his rest. And I'm making the muscles work and resting. Both. Taking care of them and making them work. And taking care of them and making them work. And being led is the ultimate bottom line of the rest of it is part of our works are being led by the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit telling us to do? What is it? I mean, so I'm cooperating with the Lord with by faith in who he is and his completed works for me. It's done. There's nothing off the table. Torn muscles, not a big deal. Does it mean I don't still feel pain? Not at all. Does it mean that it's getting better? Absolutely. Progress is happening every day. Does it mean it's easy? No. Does it mean I'm working at it? I'm not working at it. I'm believing God because I keep going back to over and over what his word says to me and refreshing my mind and my heart and my spirit in the truth of who he is and what he's done. Those are my works. Am I exercising? Yeah. Yeah. 2 point. Yep. Yeah. And I keep getting better and farther. But you know what? It's an example of the principle of entering his rest by faith and the works that cooperate with him, with his word, making my body cooperate with the truth. Is it not always easy, is it?
No.
It ain't. It is not always easy. It's not always, you don't always feel good. You kind of work through the pain aspect or the problem aspect and you go beyond. You say, I'm going to be led by you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to let you lead me because I'm listening to you. But this is what I believe. I'm going to go as far as I can go right now and I'm going to keep going. As you lead me, and then I'm going to rest, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do more, and I'm going to cooperate with your word. And I expect, as Anthony said, I expect to see results. I expect the healing to take place. I expect it. Do I want it to happen? Did I want it to happen immediately? Well, of course I did, like everybody does. Instant. Why didn't I receive? I don't know. I mean, really? I don't know. Because I didn't refresh on things, because maybe I needed some sit-down time to think about and meditate on the word rather than, you know, all the other stuff that's always going on. Yeah. Just like we all do, because life is going on around us all the time, right? All the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an example. And I'm sorry I've taken up the time. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time and this study and for opening our eyes and hearts to your word and how to enter the rest of our salvation, the actual literal rest, and how, Lord, to cooperate with you by our works, through our works, not what we're trying to earn and get, but in cooperating with you and what you say and who you are, the way you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.